Hallelujah. Father, we just come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing that's upon your word. We just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. It's the verse that we spoke of earlier today. And I spoke on this last week. And if you weren't here last week and God's speaking to you about this, go back and watch the YouTube video or you know, whatever. And I know it will be a blessing to you. But before we get to the word today, I just want to mention this. We have an election coming up in a few weeks. And even, I think, probably this week, there'll be some ballots that are sent out. And what I want you to do is I want you to vote. And I don't know if it's too late, right? I don't know if it's too late, but if you're not registered to vote, get registered to vote. In the last election, I forget the percentage, but it was huge. The amount of Christians who did not vote.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was something like only 30%. Of those who call upon the name of the Lord voted. That's ridiculous. That's sin. Because God's given us the right to vote. And I'm not telling you who to vote for, although by your spirit you should know. Right? But what I am telling you to is vote. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." As we said last week, and we're going to say again, that this is a verse that tells us how to get from where we are to where God wants us to be. Right? Now watch this. Watch this. You will never change without changing your thinking. Let me say that again. You will never change. Change will never happen unless you do something about your thinking. And I'm not specifically talking about the thoughts that just run through your head. What I'm talking about is the foundation of those thoughts. It's the hard drive of those thoughts, if you will. And if the hard drive is corrupted, you need to empty the hard drive and fill it up again with the right things. Right? And so what this verse is talking about anything, any thought that's untrue, any thought that doesn't line up with the Word of God, we need to renew our mind to it. And Wednesday night I taught on this, and I'm not going to teach it again. But the renewing the mind is not an event. It's a process. And, you know, when you renew leather, you have to rub oil into the leather. And it's the same leather, but it's renewed. And all of a sudden, man, that looks like brand new because it's been renewed. So what we need to do is take the Word of God and renew our thoughts. And this morning I want to talk to you about a term that some Christians bristle at, but it's called Christian meditation. I'm not talking about a New Age thing here. I'm talking about Christian meditation, and we'll get into the definitions in just a minute. But really, what meditation is focusing your thoughts on purpose.
Yes.
Let me say that again. It's focusing your thoughts on purpose.
Yes.
Focusing your thoughts on purpose. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Sometimes we read the verses and we go, yeah, that's okay for some people, but I don't know if I can do that. Here's what I'm going to tell you is that anything that God put in His Word for you to do, He gives you the power to do it. The only thing that's hindering you from receiving what He's telling you to do is your lack of faith in believing that what He's told you to do, you can do.
Come on, good word.
Whew, glory to God. In Philippians chapter 4, and let's look down at verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, and whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. It said, on these things meditate. I've heard some people, you know, and we're going to get into it in a minute. We need to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Amen. We're going to go to Joshua and see that day and night. And I've learned this very big revelation. If it's not day, it's night. Amen. And if it's not night, it's day. So what does that mean? All the time.
Woo-hoo.
All the time.
Yes.
All the time. Meditating on the Word of God. Well, I couldn't do that. After all, I've got to work. I've got to take care of the house. I've got to do this. I've got so many things in my life that I have to do. How could I meditate on something? Did you know that worry and stress is meditation on the thoughts that you have?
Yes, come on.
And I'll guarantee you that if something is really bothering you, it'll bother you at work. It'll bother you when you're doing the dishes. It'll bother. Now look at this. Fear and stress is nothing but a lack of knowing that God is with you. Fear is nothing but believing the bad report.
Right.
Fear is nothing, and it gains a stronghold when you meditate on it over and 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 over again. Christian meditation is taking your thoughts captive, it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and making them become obedient to Christ. What does that mean? That means you get to take the Word of God and put it inside of your heart. And the more that you think about it and you let it roll over and over and over and over, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a thought that's not in line with God's Word. And you go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I don't believe that. I believe the Word of God. I believe God can do what He said He would do. I believe He will do what He said He would do. I believe in my heart, and therefore, I'm not only going to cast out the thought that's against what I know, I'm going to put back in the thought that I know is true. Are you with me? Talking about Christian meditation, it's talking about thinking. But let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Many of you are familiar with this verse, but listen to this. And you remember that Joshua had the great privilege of taking over for Moses. Now, we say, yes, amen, that was so good. But think about the pressure that is. Think about Joshua's going, I've got to follow that. This guy is the one that walked through the Red Sea. This is the one that saw, you know, the burning bush. This is the one that was up talking with God, and God used His finger on stone and put the Ten Commandments. This is who I have to follow? Yep. Yep. But listen, and we could read a lot of these verses, but let's just go specifically to verse 8. It says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according that all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What is a successful Christian? I will define it this way. A successful Christian is one who hears and obeys. Hears and obeys. So all of us can be in different places with different anointings, different, you know, different lives, different things that we're going through. And you can say, how could I ever be as successful as that person that you've put on a pedestal, Saint so-and-so? How could I ever be as, look at what all they've done for God. If they've done anything for God that has eternal value, you know what they did? They heard and obeyed. So as long as you're hearing and obeying, you're as successful as they are. Right, right. But our hearing needs to be in line with what God has said. Because when we're hearing what God is, somebody would say to me, I've never heard the voice of God. It's not true, but I've never heard the voice of God. The song that we sang, you know, I sought the Lord and I heard, you know, listen, I got saved by doing this. A man came witness to me and he was saying things like this. He would say, well, and God told me this and God told me that and God told me this and God spoke. And I'm thinking, my word, this guy is either high or is it possible that God would speak to the heart of man? See, I grew up Catholic, and my perception of that was is that God only spoke through the Pope, and then it was handed down, and the parish priest would tell you what God said, and that's all you should expect. So from that perspective, God speaks to you? So I said, and this was the first experience that I'd really had as an adult with it. It was like, okay, God, if you're real, if you even exist, because at that point I wasn't sure, if you really exist, have him start, if you speak to him, have him start speaking about a subject that was on my heart. And I mean, the next thing out of his mouth was exactly, you know, that connection. And of course, me being a man of, you know, great understanding, I said, well, that was quite a coincidence. And so, long story short, I ask again. God did it again. And then my prayer was, God, if he hears your voice, I want to hear your voice. And I'm telling you, that was a long, long, long time ago. But since that day, I've been hearing his voice. But I'm telling you, I've never heard an audible voice. I know others have. I've never have. I've never really come to the place where I you know, it's like a big revelation type of thing. I've heard it stronger at other times, but here's how you hear the voice of God. God puts a thought into your mind that comes from your spirit. The way that Christians hear the word of God for themselves is by spending time with God, meditating on his word, and then God will supernaturally speak things into your heart.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
But it's the word of God that you put in that makes the difference. Many times when I seek God for words, you know, if I'm going through something really hard or I need an answer, I'll say, God, give me a scripture. And it doesn't happen all the time, but I'm telling you it's happened more than I could count. And I could tell you several stories, but what I pray that God will say, well, open your Bible to Isaiah 41. And the scripture's there. Now watch it. There's a process of renewing the mind. It doesn't necessarily mean that that takes all of the fear out. It says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The process of that is that I need to go from that promise to its reality in my heart and in my life. And the way that I did that in that particular circumstances is that was now my focal point to fight against every fearful thought of what could happen and what could go wrong and what the enemy was trying to do to me. I took that, and every time a opposite thought came, I went, nope, fear not, for God's with me. I will not fear, for God is with me. He said he'd uphold me with his righteous right hand. If God is for me, who can be against me? But what I was able to do is take the word that I was given, and through the process of renewing my thought life, I changed the platform from fear to faith. My basis for thinking, my default mode was not, oh God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. See, I knew that God was with me, and I knew that God was going to get me through. But the way that I got there is I began to think about it and think about it, and on purpose put his word in my thought life. In other words, listen to me. If God's word doesn't have final authority in your thought life, you'll never be able to receive its full promise. Because God's word is true. 100% true. God's word is true. But is it true for you? Not if your thought process is based on anything but his word. Go on. And the way that you get there is exactly what he told Joshua. You meditate on his word day and night. Now, meditation and Christian meditation, I'm not talking about getting into a cave somewhere, crossing your legs, right, in a lotus fashion, and, you know, putting it, however they do it, and just going, That's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. Listen to what it means, and this is, you know, out of Strong's Concordance, but to meditate means to moan, to growl, to utter, to muse, to devise, to plot, to speak. It speaks of image. To meditate means to mutter. It means to ponder. It means to think about. It means to picture.
Yes.
Yeah. It means to picture. Oh, I'm going to get these a little bit out of order. But in Isaiah 26:3, you can put that up. 26:3, watch this. It says, but you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. So, whose mind is stayed on you. The word mind there in the Hebrew doesn't really exist. And this would be better translated, you will keep him in perfect peace whose imagination is stayed on you.
Yes.
Whose imagination is stayed on you. And when I say imagination, what I'm talking about is the image that your thoughts present. What do you see? What do you see when you're thinking? What do you see? Do you see doom and gloom? And it's the same old thing. Day after day after day after, it's the same, blah, 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 blah. If that's the image, then you're going to produce that image. But when you let God speak his word to you, and you do the necessary fact to renew and rubbing with the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit, rubbing your heart to the places, wait a minute, I see it. I see that God said He's for me. I see it. That's my reality because I now see it. Again, sometimes this is a process because you've spent a long time having another picture in your imagination. And that picture could look something like this. Well, you know, nothing good ever happens to me. You know, my dad told me I'd never amount to anything. My mom said I was no good. My third grade teacher told me that, you know, whatever voices came. And it's like, so your imagination, what you see in your thought life, is the picture that they painted. Christian meditation allows the Spirit of God to erase and throw out that picture and then put a picture in your thoughts that line up with His Word. Come on. Well, I've studied the Word, but I don't see it yet. Here's what I'm telling you. Find the scriptures that absolutely speak to what God's dealing with you about and begin to meditate on it. Think about them day and night and night and day and ponder them in your heart. Yeah. If fear impacts you, if lack impacts you, if doubt impacts you, if stress impacts you, this would be a great verse. When stress comes up, to say, no, wait a minute. Just imagine for a moment and think about this. With whatever you're facing, however bad it is, however awful it is, close your eyes for just a minute. You're sitting at home, you're sitting in your chair, or you're sitting in your car, and this pressure is on you. And it's heavy on you. And you're thinking about it and you're just stressing about it. And then you look to the passenger seat or you look to the couch and Jesus is sitting on your couch. Jesus is sitting in your passenger seat. And then you begin to imagine the fact that if Jesus is with me, He'll show me what to do. He'll tell me how to get through. And the bottom line is, if God be for me, and He is because He's sitting right here, who can be against me? He's sitting right here. Who could take me away from His love? See, what you've just done is you've created a picture in your mind by your thoughts that put God in the picture. And I'm telling you, when you learn to do that, I'm not saying you won't have stressful situations. I'm not telling you you won't have pressure in your life. I'm not telling you that all of your life there will be nothing bad that happens to you. But when you can put God in those situations, Paul said it this way, and I've quoted this a lot, but it just rings true to me. He said, I've learned, and he said this after he listed all he'd been through. I've learned in whatever state that I find myself in, therein to be content. That's an amazing statement. Because he'd been whipped, he'd been beaten, he'd been, you know, thrown out of his family, thrown out of the synagogue, thrown, everything that he knew was taken away. He'd been robbed, he'd been beaten, all of that. Whatever. Why? Because he saw Jesus with him everywhere he went. So when I'm talking about Christian meditation, I'm talking about pondering, thinking about, and putting Jesus and His Word in every one of your thoughts. 24/7. Is this easy? No. Whenever I hear that's hard. That's not. I always go back to this. Is that easy? Well, no, it might take some work to do that. But which is easier, getting the results of that, or continuing to get the results of the way you've been thinking? that's hard. Well, no, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but what hard is continuing with no change in your life year after year after year after year, not seeing God move in your life. That's hard. So if the discipline of renewing your mind brings this into your heart, that's not hard. That's easy. That's the point of getting to where his burden is easy. Come on. Come on. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. We're going to do communion in just a minute, but I want to go to a couple of different scriptures to point this in. And I've only introduced this. We'll speak about it again next week, the Lord willing. But go to Psalm chapter 2. The word has much to say about meditation. But the second psalm, and verse 1. It says, why do the nation rage and the people plot a vain thing? That word plot is the word meditate. Let me say that again. That word plot is the word meditate. What does that mean? If you're thinking evil in your heart, eventually it will come out. Right? But the opposite of that is true. Come on. Another one. Go to Psalm 38:12. 38:12. Those who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who hurt seek my hurt, speak of destruction, and they plan deception all day long. That word plan, deception, is they meditate, they think about it, they go over and over and over and over and over and over. I will guarantee you that if you have trouble with sin in your life, it's because you haven't renewed your mind, and the thoughts that you allow will lead you to a place you don't want to be.
Right.
Come on. What am I saying? I'm saying when we talk about renewing your mind so that you're not conformed to this world, but you're transformed, I'm telling you, you can get from where you are and know that there's a place over here you want to be. And, you know, God, just lay your hands on me and I'll just be. And he could do that. I've seen God absolutely transform somebody in a second. But the main way that he does it is that you take his word and you begin to put it inside of you by reading it and then meditating on it, thinking about 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 it. And then it becomes a part of who you are, and that will dictate what you do. Amen. Did y'all get something this morning? Amen, amen. We're going to receive communion in just a moment. If you didn't receive the elements, Donnie's passing them around. But while she's doing that, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When we do communion, and we don't do it every week like some people's plans are or their customs are. One of the reasons that we don't is I don't want it to be just a rote thing that we do.
Yeah,
I don't want it just to be, well, it's communion time, let's get the elements and do all of that and then leave. I want us to really meditate on what's being done here, what's being said here. In fact, in the scripture here, let me find it. In verse 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's kind of a sobering thing. But I believe that it's not just about if you're sinning, you're going to be found out. There may be an element to that. But what I'm thinking that it says is if you don't really discern what the price that Jesus paid when he was on the cross and he spilled his blood for you, then you're not eating and drinking it in a worthy manner. So what do I mean by that? I mean, Lord, as we take this, I want to just think about, I want to meditate, and I want to just put it in my heart the fact that when you were on the cross dying, you weren't dying for you, you were dying for me. So, Lord, in a sense, I was on the cross with you because my sins were identified with you. But Lord, when you went into the ground and you were buried for 3 days and you went down to the pit of hell, you went through all of that, went to paradise, did all of that, Lord, in a real way, because you're my Lord and Savior and because my identification is in you, I was there too. But then, Lord, when you were raised from the dead and God said, it is enough, and the sacrifice has paid the debt of every human being who will accept it, I want to be identified with that too. Because Jesus, I am raised with you. So when we take the body, the bread and the blood and the cup, we're remembering what these elements represent. Again, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and they believe in they believe that literally turns into the body and blood of Jesus. Now, you might think that's weird, but I think there's a balance to it. Because I think sometimes if we just continue to look at it as bread and wine or grape juice, then we don't reverence it. You see, when I was in the Catholic Church, when you went into church, because if any of the wine or the bread wasn't used after it was turned into the body of Christ, it was kept in a little chamber on the altar. So when you went into the church and you went to go into the pew, you went down the middle aisle and you genuflected where? At the presence of God. See, so when I'm talking about taking communion, it's more than, well, you know, let's just do this because we're supposed to do it. And no, it's, Lord, I'm remembering the price that you paid for my sins. I'm remembering the fact that, Lord, you absolutely took my sin and I no longer have to take it because you bore it. And Lord, I'm thanking you that even by your stripes, you brought healing to my heart, healing to my mind, healing to my body. Everything that I have, Father, in you is based on the sacrifice that Jesus made. Amen? So again, let's just take just a moment. Lord, if there's anything on our heart that you're dealing with, and we need to surrender that to you. Maybe it's our stress. Maybe it's hatred. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's doubt. Lord, right now we surrender that to you. And we want you, Lord, to come and invade our lives. For I received from the Lord that which I have delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So go ahead and take the wafer. Thank you, Lord, that you hung on the tree for me. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that the chastisement of my peace was laid upon you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often you drink it in remembrance of me." Go ahead and drink. Thank you, Lord, that my righteousness was granted when you took my sin. Thank you, Lord, that your blood is able to even clear my conscience of evil. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can come boldly into the throne of grace because of this cup. Lord, I thank you for hearing my plea and my cry. In Jesus' name. Listen, if you're here or you're watching online and Jesus is not Lord of your life, now's a great time to surrender to him, because he loves you. He'll speak to you. Just like me, you could go, "God, if there is a God, show yourself to me." If you really mean it and you watch, he will. But if you're here, you're watching online, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've got to know and you've got to recognize that your ability to be good enough to get God's favor is just laughable. All of us have sinned. All of us have made mistakes. All of us. And just one little tiny mistake cannot be in the presence of a holy God. So we all need Jesus. We all need what we just experienced for him to remove our sin. So Lord, we just thank you for that. If you're here or you're watching online, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's pretty simple to do. If you'll say with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you'll be saved. So just give your heart to Jesus this morning. Whether you're online or here in the room, give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Maybe you've walked away from the Lord, and like all of us, from time to time, we have to recommit ourselves to the initial act of surrendering to God. We surrender our sin, Lord. We surrender all of the things that we know aren't right. We need your help, so help us this morning. If you've walked away from God, come on back to him, because he's your answer. He's for you. He's not against you. Just come to Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. If I could have the worship team come up, we're going to end with a song. If you need prayer for anything, we're praying up here on the front in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? It's just like Jesus. We're here praying for you. His power is here. What for? Anything that you have need of. If you need healing in your body, if you need agreement for finances, if you pray for a loved one, whatever it is, maybe you're struggling with something, just come up. You say, "Yeah, but I've been prayed for before." So what? I run out of gas and I go to the gas station and get more gas. And I don't say, "Well, I had gas last week." I did. But you know, I'm going to go to the gas station and get more. Right? So come on up.